He started talking to us about the operation of the seven spirits of God, the seven eyes of omniscience, omnipresent omniscience, like Elisha walked in, like Paul walked in, like Moses walked in, like John walked in. And the extraordinary thing about John is we found out he's caught up in the Spirit twice, one in chapter 1 and the second time in chapter 4. When he's caught up in the Spirit, the first time in chapter 1, the Lord opened, he came to him. This is very important because we're going to get into the Omega Zone tonight. The Lord came to him where he was, and then he opened the future to him of the seven churches. And he showed him the seven churches all, and he gave him words of encouragement for them, rebuke, exhortation, and he wrote to the messengers of the seven churches from that position that the Lord brought him to. Now, the rest of the book, from chapter 4 on, God had to shift him to a new place. And he was caught up in the Spirit again, but this time there was a door opened in heaven. John, God didn't come to John where he was. God brought John to where he was. You hear that? God didn't come to John where John was. God brought John. Now, this is a whole different prophetic operation we're moving in now. God lifted John's spirit and brought him 2,000 years into the future and then dropped him in. Amen? To a time that we're not even walked in yet. And when he dropped him in, he didn't just drop him in. He was there. Say, he was there. He saw it. He interacted, he participated, he wept and interceded in the events of chapter 5, and chapter 5 haven't even happened yet, and he wept over it, he talked with them, they walked him around. And so God started showing us this whole operation of omnipresent omniscience. This is part of the operation of the seven eyes of the Lord. Then he took us into the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 on Sunday. From Isaiah 40 to 48, all that was speaking a prophetic word about the Cyrus coming into office, which we know our Cyrus is now in office. Say our Cyrus is in office. But it's also speaking of the prophetic generation that was going to be released by Cyrus, which came out of Babylon. The Zerubbabels, the Lerubbabels, the Haggai's, the Zechariah's. Amen. And so we came out, and then all of these unfulfilled prophetic events never took place. Everything God said, very little of it ever happened, because that whole prophetic generation, if you learn how to read the Bible, that generation is our generation, because we have a Cyrus in now, and now the 70 years is what? Fulfilled. And the Jewish Sanhedrin priesthood of our day confirmed that with a coin. We've taught all that. So he's speaking all of these things to that generation, and we walk through that, Isaiah 40 through 48, about, I declare now the end from the beginning. Behold, I do a new thing. Shall you not know it? I do a new thing, and before it comes in the manifestation in your realm, I will declare it to you in my realm. That's basically what he's saying. Before it happens in your realm, I'll show it to you in my realm. This is how the Lord operated, how he was so effective, because before he ever laid hands on anybody, he always saw it happen from the Father's realm first. He saw it panoramically. God spoke it to him. He was caught up into it. And he says, I can do nothing. If I go out in myself, I can do nothing. Boy, if we can get a revelation of that. Because I can only do what? What I see my Father doing, and hear what my Father's saying. My doctrine's not even mine. My doctrine comes from him. I only say what he's saying, do what he's doing. See, the Father's doing things in the realm of the kingdom. Amen. He's doing things. And when we connect into the frequency of the realm of the kingdom, we see it before it happens. That's what he was saying to our generation, like no other generation. We are the generation that's going to walk in the seven spirits of God. We are the generation that's going to walk under the seven eyes of omniscience with seven horns of omnipotent dominion. Omnipresent omniscience executing omnipotent dominion. Hallelujah. Amen. We're the generation that's going to walk and see what our Father's doing before it happens. Before it comes to pass in manifestation in your realm, I will show it to you in my realm. See, I'll show it to you. See, I'll show it to you. Now, there's a difference between God coming to you and showing it to you and God bringing you to where it is. Amen? See, the prophetic operations of our day is God's coming to us and He's showing us the future from the position we're at. The next level of operation is God's going to take us into, say into, the position of that future, drop us in there, download it to us, and then we're going to execute dominion from that position. So Monday, the Lord starts taking me in there and He goes, I want you to go back in now to Revelation. So let's go back into Revelation. Chapter 1. Now, we've heard all this forever, but wow, it's just amazing how the Holy Ghost, seven spirits of God, can shift your perspective of the operation of the kingdom of God. Amen? So let's look at chapter 1, verse 8. And He said, I am, the Lord's there in front of John. He goes, I am the Alpha. Say Alpha. He's the Alpha. He is the Alpha. But He said, and what? The Omega. I am. He didn't say, I know these things. He goes, I am the beginning. I am the end. Now, He's declaring the end 2,000 years ago. He's fast-forwarding John up to where we are. He goes, I am the end. Now, listen, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord. Which is, now He's actually describing Himself the way the Father was described a couple verses earlier. He goes, which is, which was, and is to come. I am where you are, I am where you were, and I am where you're going. Say, I'm already there. I am where you were as an orphan. I am where you are as a full-age son. I am where you're going as a joint heir. Amen. I am which was and is and is to come. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I mean, when the Lord spoke this to Him, He spoke like a trumpet. It wasn't a nice, you know, still small voice. I mean, like the trumpet. He said, I am Alpha John and I am the Omega. And then He adds this too. I am the first. Say the first. And I am the last. And the Holy Spirit started honing me on that. He said, I was never described like that in the entire book of the Bible until the book of Revelation. You cannot find Him describing Himself as the Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. He says it again. He says it like this in chapter 22, verse 13. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am beginning and the end. And I am what? First and the last. Now, as He's saying this, the Spirit of the Lord began to come upon me. And He said, when I ask you to abide in Me, in the Lord, when I say, where I am, there shall you be also. If any man serve Me, let him follow Me, that where I am, there shall you be also. And He asked me a question. He goes, can I not be somewhere up in front of you when I ask you to come and dwell with Me? Or do I have to be where you are? He goes, is where I am defined by where you are? Or is where I am defined by where I am? And can I not define myself as He that which was and is to come? Because I started understanding about John G. Lake. I wanted to know how this worked. How did this man go to Africa before he ever went to Africa? God took him into Africa, flew him into Africa, took him in the Spirit, and he would download the continent and the different places he had ministered. He'd download the political spectrum and the financial and the religious. He knew everything about everything before he ever got there. And it was such a key to how he birthed 1,400 churches in 5 years because he had the political, financial, and religious landscape already downloaded to him before he ever got there. Amen? He saw future events. He saw future commerce. He saw it all. He was really a king priest before his day. Before his king, if he wouldn't have surrendered his kingly anointing and understood that he could have been both, because he developed a doctrine, I can't be a minister and be a king too. If he would have just tapped back into that, whew, Matthew, where would he have been? Whoa! He stepped out of that anointing that he actually had in his life. Had he combined to both, no telling what kind of impact he would have left to us. He left an amazing legacy nonetheless. Amen? I wanted to know how that worked. How? What are you just, the Spirit of God comes on me and just lifts me up? And that's an operation, but the Lord wants us to understand how this generation's going to function under the seven spirits of God. And he begins to reveal himself to John as Alpha and Omega. But then he begins to say in John, because John's the one that caught all these revelations in the first place when he laid his head under the breast of the Lord, and the Lord revealed to him the upper room mysteries of where I am. If any man serve me, let him follow me. I will that you be with me where I am, that you may behold my glory. When Moses asked for the glory of God, what happened? God caught him up in the glory. He said, now, Moses, you represent the law, so you're not going to really be able to see much further than that. But I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to show you the glory of what's behind my backside. You know what he really did? He took Moses, because he was born about 2500 B.C., and God took him up into the glory, and he turned him back, and he showed him, because he wrote the book of Genesis, he showed him and walked him back in time and showed him the glory of Genesis, the glory of the patriarchs, the glory of the early age saints. Isn't that amazing? Walked him all the way up to his time, and he wrote it all out with amazing detail. That's what happens, by the way. Chuck and I got into this discourse yesterday. When you start getting caught up into the glory, you start seeing things beyond your time. Amen? That's one of the facets of God's glory, is you start seeing and beholding things that are way beyond your time. You start functioning in a realm that's not of this world. Amen? And when he said, if I pray that you be with me, say where I am. So my question to you, if he is Christ, which was, which is, and is to come, where is he for you? Why do we always define going to the Lord from where we are? We're the ones that put in that stipulation limitation on him. Because what we do is because we're so consumed in where we are. Say, where we are, we want God to get consumed in where we are. Right? So when we go to the Lord, even when we're abiding Him, it's all about where we are, what you're going to do for me right now. When God, when? Why God, why? How God, how? It's all about this realm. Amen? Even when we're with Him, we got this realm where we are right now on our mind. But what if He has that which is to come on his mind for you? Why do you think it's God's standard operating procedure when anybody ever gets close to the Lord to begin moving out and showing you what is to come? Why does he do that? Why does God come to you? How many of you have had an encounter with God where he came upon you and showed you something about your future? Raise your hand. I mean something big. Raise your hand. He came on you, showed you something about your future. When he showed it to you, he showed it to you with all the faith, the life, the glory, all of it. So much so, you were ready to go do it the next day. Let's get it on. Some of that was 20 years ago. I mean, when he said that to me, I'm like, whoa, I'm ready. God said, no, you're not. But he makes you feel like you're ready. He makes you feel like you're Superman. He makes you feel like you're David ready to take the Goliath on. He makes you feel like you're a joint heir even when you are a dysfunctional orphan. For a moment in time, I forgot that I'm a dysfunctional orphan because God made me feel like I am a joint heir. I went over into a land over there somewhere. And I came back and I'm like, whoa! You know the reality of that? That's who you are. The reality of that is he's authored and he is the what? Finisher. He just, what he did is he took some of the finishing line some of the end, some of the last, some of the omega zone. He took some of the end of your life and just brought it, some of the perspective, some of the glory of it, some of the faith of it, the joy of it, the freedom, the victory, the liberty. He took some of that, packaged it up, and brought it over to where you are. He brought it to where you were in the alpha stage of your life. And what he did, it exploded on the inside of you. I can't tell you how many times encounters you have them. I've had them. God comes to you with an encounter. Sometime in your darkest days, he'll do that. Sometime in the most unusual places, he'll encounter you like that. Amen. This mess you up, you'll come out. And sometimes it's so overwhelming when he says it to you. Why? Because he's bringing it to you in your dysfunctional state or wherever you're at right now. Back then I was highly dysfunctional. He's bringing it to you in a state where you can't even hardly receive his love, much less see that part. And you're thinking, how can these things be? Remember when he came to different people in the Bible? He'd come to them and, who's that guy that, Gideon. Gideon goes, me? What? Who? Me? I mean, when he would come to him, because he would come to him, and God saw us differently, and he'd bring all that to us because he is that which is, which was, and what is to come. He stands as Alpha, but he also stands as Omega. The problem is the enemy wants to keep us in the Alpha stage of our life. He wants to keep us there. He wants to corral us there. He wants to keep us in this realm. God's trying to release our faith into another realm. So God brings this, and for 2 or 3 days, we are high on the mountain. And I mean, you're walking around. And slowly but surely, all the things of your alpha stage, all the atmospheres, the alpha atmospheres begin to take back over. The alpha thoughts, the alpha dysfunction, the alpha atmosphere starts taking back over, and you slowly start getting meshed right back into where you were, to where a couple, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Am I reading anybody's mail? To what happens, you get back in, it's like, well, I know God spoke to me, but I'm back in who I am now. Back in the saddle. One day, God will do it. Praise God. I know he spoke to me, but I got to put it on the shelf and suffer for the Lord. You know, put these things on the shelf and go back and suffer for the Lord. I mean, when God takes you in the spirit like that, I mean, you're Superman. You come back and like, we're back to where we were. Why does he do that? Because he can. What if I were to tell you, you can actually enter into that place instead of wait for your next encounter for him to show you who you are? What I told you, there is a mechanism within you, a God has given you, that can actually move out from where you are into where he is. A promise, multiple promises of where I am, there shall you what? Be also. Why do you think he came to John in a blaze with a trumpet speaking, said, John, I need you to understand, I am Alpha, but I am Omega. I am the beginning, John, but I am the end. I'm the end of your promise. I'm the Omega of this year. I'm the Omega of next week. I'm the Omega of your promise. I'm Omega of your life. I'm the Omega of your marriage. I am the Omega of your breakthrough. The one you want right now. I stand as Omega on that one. I stand on Omega on every promise I ever showed you. I stand as Omega. I'm authoring, but I'm a finisher too. I finish.
Well, he that began a good work in me, he'll be faithful, complete.
Yes, if you'll stay next to him. Say Omega. And he came to me. There's only one other place that I describe myself as the first and the last in the whole Bible, besides the book of Revelation. I described it to your prophetic generation. Go to Isaiah 44. He's speaking of Cyrus. He's speaking of the new thing. He says, I'm going to raise a king up that's going to deliver you from Babylonian captivity, from the Babylonian systems. I'm going to bring you out and do a new thing. I'm not mad at you anymore. He was hot with them. He let them in there for 70 years for their idolatry. He goes, I'm coming to you now with favor, grace, and love. I'm going to raise up a king. He's going to take the greatest nation ever down. He's going to take down the walls of Babylon. He's going to take a system that said it could not be taken down. I'm going to bring that system down. And I'm going to release you all from captivity. And all the wealth of your nation is underneath Babylon in stored vaults and treasures. We trace that wealth. I'll give you Cyrus, the hidden riches of secret places. We trace that well. All the way from David to Solomon to Tyre to Babylon. The whole time they were in captivity, all their wealth was up underneath them. Yeah. God said, don't worry about it. I got the wealth of your nation right underneath you while you're serving. The devil took it all to Tyre. Nebuchadnezzar raided Tyre and he took all that wealth when he raided Jerusalem and he took it all and put it under the vaulted treasures. You got to have the whole wealth of your nation sitting underneath you while I'm dealing with you. But now my favor, say it's time for favor. It's time for favor. Time to start declaring the end from the beginning. Time to come out of captivity. We're going to do something new now. You're not going to be under the Babylonian financial system. You're not going to be under the Babylonian captivity anymore. I'm going to liberate you. I'm going to liberate you. I'm going to free you. I'm going to take a ravenous bird from the east and he's going to free you. But you're going to come and build my house. You're going to build me a house that's going to rival Solomon's house. And they wept when they saw it. This is not Solomon's house because he wasn't speaking to them. He was speaking to us. Because we were the prophetic generation that just got freed May 14th of this year. 70 years fulfilled on the coin. And God has all, I'm going to do a new thing now. Before it manifests in your jurisdiction, I'm going to show it to you in my jurisdiction. I'm going to start showing you things before it happens. In fact, he had a prophecy there in chapter 30. He said, your night, you'll no longer have night. Your night will be as one day. But your one day will be as 7 days of light. You're going to start walking in 7 days of light. Say 7 days of light. 7 days of light. I'm going to turn the light up. I'm going to show you things to come. I'm going to show it to you before it happens. You're going to see what the Father's doing before. You're going to feel it, taste it, touch it, dwell in it, have it on you. All the old timers, they asked, how'd you do it? It was on me. It was on me. They didn't find the faith to get someone out of that wheelchair the second they were in front of them. They already had it on them. They said they had it on them. Say, it's on me. Where do you think they got it? On me. They started learning how to dwell outside the position they were in. You're going to have greater faith. You cannot have faith, greater faith dwelling in the position you're in. There's too much warfare that goes around this position. There's too much familiarity in the position we're in. There's too much wilderness. That's why God had to come and say, listen, I got to get you out of the wilderness. I'm going to make a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. I'm going to reveal myself not only as the Alpha, I have to reveal myself as the end now. And not only am I going to reveal myself as the end, I'm going to start taking you into the end. I'm going to start taking you to the end zone, like touchdown, like Omega Zone. I'm going to start taking you out from where you are and all those feelings that you felt when I came to you. I'm going to bring you to where I am. And you're going to feel it all over again. You're going to taste it all over again. You're going to have the freedom. Isaiah 44, watch this. This is the prophetic generation right here. This is it. Ready? This is the one. This is who he's talking to, you and me. The true prophetic generation. Amen. This is the Haggai 2 generation. Once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry lands. The treasures of all nations will come into my house and I'll fill this house with glory. The glory of this latter-day house will be greater than the former, for in this place I will give prosperity. In this place I will give the wealth of the nation. You shall be priests to the Lord and named ministers your God, and you'll be fed with the treasures of the nations. Your eyes will shine with joy and your heart will be filled with thrill. For merchants from around the world will flow unto you, bringing unto you the wealth of many lands. I will extend peace unto you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. Your gates will be open continuously day and night. They shall not at all be shut. That men may bring unto you the wealth of many lands. Father, this is that prophetic generation. We are that prophetic generation. You do a new thing with us. Shall we not know it before it's manifesting in our jurisdiction? You show it, reveal it, speak it, proclaim it in yours. We actually dwell in it. You reveal it where you are. Father, clothe us in that realm. Catch us up in that realm. Nah, and I'm telling you, I'm living in another realm these days. Learning how to get out from where I'm at. Oh, I need lights back on. I'm learning to get out from where I'm at. Got to learn to get out from where you are. You're never going to whip the devil staying in this jurisdiction. He will wear you down. Spiritual warfare should be rise above the enemy under my feet. Thank you. See you later. I've got greater things to do. Amen. If you're always enemy conscious, you're in the wrong jurisdiction. You got to be glory conscious. If you're glory conscious, you're dwelling with God. He's not going to have you dwelling on your enemies. He's already defeated them. You're going to dwell on Him. Amen. So Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, King of Israel. His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first. Say, I am the first. And I am the last. In other words, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning of where you are right now, but I'm also in your end. Isaiah 48, verse 12. This is the only verses outside of the book of Revelation, you're going to find God speak like this. The only other thing He said is, I am. Tell Him I am sent you. That's I am. But here, the prophetic generation is going to understand Him as that which is, that which was, and that which is to come. We're going to understand Him with a light that's not of this world. We're going to walk with Him in a light that's not of this world. We're going to walk with Him before it ever manifests here, it's going to manifest there. And we're going to experience the manifestation with Him. And then we're going to deliver the manifestation here. That's how He did it. That's how He did it. Nothing ever caught the Lord by surprise. When they would come to Him, He never said, oh, I'm shocked. Let's huddle up and pray. Come on, grab some hands and pray. He never. Most of the time, I'd stop. He finished their sentence before they even start talking to Him. I already know what you're about to say. I've already seen it. I already know what's going on. I'm in front of you. Way in front of you. Wouldn't you love to walk in this world without getting blindsided? Wouldn't you love a 7-day light in front of you? Yeah, I've already seen this. This was a good one. You're going to like this one. Blessing of the Lord is going to come on you within 24 hours. And you go, ah, and He goes, I already saw it. I already walked in it. It's a lot easier to deliver something you've foreseen. Amen. Verse 12, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am He. I am the first, and I also am the last. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me Monday. He said, I don't want you no longer to define me about where I am through where you are or where you want me to be. I'm like, well, how would you like me to define you? Because I go into where you are. He goes, can I not be in front of you? Can I be at the end of your present cycle? You know, the one you keep saying what you call the birth. You know, the one you keep saying, this is our year, this is our year, that one. You know, next year, this is our year. It's going to happen this year. You know, we've been saying that for 5 years now. He goes, can I actually stand in the actual place and time that that's going to happen? Am I that which was? And he says, I am. And he spoke it to me and it had a whole other meaning than everything I ever heard before. I'm like, Lord, I've never heard that before. He said, I am the Omega of your birth, of your cycle. And I am the Omega of all the future ones too. So let's just focus on the one you keep calling this is our year. And I'm like, okay. You know, the one I showed you 28 years ago and you've been carrying it in the last, at least the last 5 years, you've been saying this is our year. He goes, can I not stand in that actual place in time, in the spirit? And can I not bring you there? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And then he said something to me. He goes, I already have. And I'm like, what? He said, you remember all the times I brought it to you in the encounters, in the revelations? Why do you think I did that? Why do you think I had Abraham look out way out in front of him? Look at the stars, Abraham. Look at the sand. You won't even be alive when I fulfill all this for you. I'm going to take you so far out there in front of you, Abraham. I'm going to show you your generation. I'm going to show your descendants like the sand of the sea during the day and the stars at night. I'm going to take you way out in the glory of it. Because what I need from you, Abraham, is one birth, and I'll do the rest. I need you to give birth, but, I need you to give birth out of an impossible circumstance, out of a dead womb. Because if you can bring a son out of a dead womb, I will bring my son out of the dead womb of humanity. If you can bring yours out by faith, I will bring mine out. And I'll redeem the world. I'll bring him out of the dead womb of humanity. And I'll bring a brand new life into the world. That's why Abraham had to do it by faith. God, now how Abraham couldn't find. I was dancing around this revelation for 15 years. But God finally got it to me. I couldn't find the faith here. Abraham couldn't find the faith in the Alpha Zone. For all those years, 24 years. Even around Genesis 18 when God told him. By this time next year, Abraham, you're going to have a son out of your own, out of Sarah's loins, coming out from your own loins. And he fell on the ground laughing. Can God bring a son out of a man that's 99 years old? And you checked on Sarah, God. She's 90. And she was laughing. They were both were laughing. They didn't look anything like Romans 4. Staggered not the promise of God, strong in faith, giving glory to God what he had promised. They were before. Where did he find that faith? God got him out there. There is a realm out there that I just touched twice in the last 3 days. It's the same realm, by the way, that he brings to you when he downloads the vision to you of your life. He's bringing it from a realm of the Omega. He's taking your finish line, the part that he's finished, your birth, the glory, the grace, the power of it. He's standing there and he's bringing it to you where you are. Why? Because he has to paint a picture of where you're going. Right? But he didn't want you to just sit on that all your life and try to find that faith because... Isn't it an amazing thing? And every one of you are going to count to this that's had an encounter. The faith that comes from those kind of encounters are like nothing else. They lift you to realms untold. They lift you. They lift your spirit. I mean, you can be broken and just busted, disgusted, and God comes with that, and all of a sudden you're just a brand new man. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like you forgot for a moment that you're broke, busted, and disgusted. You forgot for a moment you're a dysfunction orphan. Man, I am King David. I am a king. Then the enemy beats you back down and said, get back in your hole. You're no king. If that doesn't do it, he'll bring a couple of people to confirm the word. To tell you what they really think about you. How many times your greatest encounters, you might want to know that the voices are coming. Warfare's coming. Breaking out all kinds of warfare. By the time you're already worn out 5 days later, I'm like, I done forgot about the word. Back to the grind. Now plow, boy. back in the ground. Get back where you're supposed to be. And all this time we're looking for the kind of faith, hoping, wishing, wondering, God's going to ride in with a white horse. Hail, thy mighty one. Jump on. Let's go. We think he's going to come rescue us. But we get confined to, I do believe this is going to be our year. Sometimes that's a faith. Sometimes you're just high in the spirit. This is our year. Sometimes it's just a faith expression. I believe this is going to be our year. What if there was a way to get out from the Alpha Zone and get into the Omega Zone? What if there's a way to get over to this realm where he was speaking from the first place? If any man love me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall he be also. Here's the first order of it. You cannot abide with him where there is no light. If you do not know he's standing in the Alpha, you'll never abide with him there. You're always going to bring him to where you are. Just be my Savior, Lord. Just be my Savior today. Well, when you start seeing him in that realm, seeing the realm for which he spoke, start acknowledging him as more than just the doorway into the kingdom, as more than just the shepherd, more than just Savior, more than just the Alpha. I acknowledge you, Lord, as the Omega. And then the Lord spoke to me, because why do you think I gave all those words to your prophetic generation? I will declare your end from the beginning. I'll do a new thing, and before it manifests in your jurisdiction, I'll show it to you. Before it happens. All of those words, I am first, I am last. I am Alpha, Omega, beginning, end. He did say, I think it's in Philippians or Colossians, I'm the author and finisher. He did say it there. Because he is the finisher. Amen? The bulk of that belongs to this generation. The more you begin, you feel the glory on that? The more you begin to acknowledge him as Omega, the more you begin to acknowledge him as the finisher, the more you begin looking at him where he is, the more you begin seeing him through the eyes of revelation. Here's your first step. You want step one? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this prayer of Ephesians 1. I'm going to show you how to pray this a new way. Amen? Verse 15, wherefore I also have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? Spirit of wisdom. Say spirit of wisdom. And revelation. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the what? The knowledge of Christ. That the eyes of your heart, the NIV says, flooded with light. Say, flooded with light. Flooded with light. Say, spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. When I go before the Father now, I say, Father, grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge, understanding, and operations of Christ the Omega. With the seven spirits of God, with omnipresent omniscience, grant me the eyes of my heart to be flooded with light and the understanding of Christ the Omega for my life, for the cycles of my life, for the promises of my life, for my future. Grant me eyes to see him as Omega. To see where he is. You cannot go in the kingdom where you cannot see. If you don't see him as Omega, you'll never dwell with him there. The best he'll ever do is bring it to you. It's not enough for him to bring it to us. We have to dwell with him. That's what Abraham found. That's what Enoch found. Enoch started dwelling with him and got lost in him. Never came back. Moses got caught up. See, it's a realm of glory you start seeing. You cannot move in the kingdom in that place you cannot see. You have to get out and start praying that, number one. Say praying. The second thing, too, is you have to start taking what he says to you and the encounters he's giving to you seriously. This constitution is a lifetime of revelations, encounters. They are the anchor. They are the Omega. That's Omega. That came to me in the Alpha stage. I've been steadily moving towards it. Sometimes feeling like I'm treading through water. This is my year. This is my year. This is my year. This is my year. Going up, coming back. This is my year. And sometime we're doing this right here. Okay. We're still not there. But he spoke it from there. He spoke it out from the Omega Zone. So what I'm going to do while I'm praying for that is I'm going to take this, put it here, and I'm going to hold it here, and I'm going to meditate upon it with him as Christ. See, there's a difference. When he first brought this revelation out from an encounter, I had this series called The Sanctified Imagination. God gave you an imagination for a reason. That's what the enemy wants to corrupt it. He brings it all down into kids' phase, baby phase. He wants to corrupt that imagination early. He wants to seed it with his stuff early, earlier. If he can break the imagination, he loves that. Some people are afraid to see themselves. The only way you're ever going to see yourself, God's going to bring you light where you are. But we have this fear of releasing into what he said. Amen? We have a fear of going there. And that's why he brings it to you in the first place. He brings it with his word. He brings you the boundaries and the pathway by which you can release. That's why he was seeding Abraham's imagination with the stars of the heaven, the sand of the seashore. I need you to look at this, Abraham. But I don't want you looking with the eyes of the mind. I want you to look at the eyes of the heart. Now, as I begin to learn to do that over time, I'd let myself go out and release, and God would paint and paint and paint. Something happened. He said, I kind of want you to do this with me. He said, you're just going out there imagining is one thing. I want you to enter into me, the Omega. And God's going to have to explain it to you the way he explained it to me. He said, I want you because when I do it with you, it's going to be a whole different level than you doing it. Does that make sense? Because before I would just sit there and see, and I would sit there, sit back, and just let myself look in the future and dream with God. Say dream. You're going to make it with God. You're going to have to dream one way or another. You're going to have to learn to dream. But he says, I want you to dream with me, not apart from me. Actually, he said, I want you to dream with me where I am. I spoke those words from a jurisdiction that's beyond where you are and a time that was beyond where you are. I spoke them from your finish line. I want you to move into me as Omega. I began to see him as the Omega. That right there shifted my faith 1,000 times over. All of a sudden I said, oh, I can be with you there. I just said it. He says, yes. From where you spoke to me, and I don't know how it happened. I just saw it. Because he said, I am. The Holy Spirit took that and just threw light on that like nobody's business. All of a sudden, I saw him. I saw where he was. Just like the door. How many of you ever seen him as the door? When you didn't have any light, you didn't know he was the door. Now you have light. You can go out to most Christians out there and say, Jesus is the door. You know you can enter in the kingdom. They're going, you know you can enter in the kingdom. He said you can go in and out and find pasture. You know you can go in there. There's a whole kingdom. There's a throne of grace. There's a garden. You know, go dwell with him. Yeah, he gave me this light. It just came. He's the Omega. He's the end. He's the author. He's the finisher. I started looking at him as the finisher. I started looking at this realm in which he spoke to me from. I said, all these words came from that place. They had such life in them. I bring these words back to you. And how I did it, I just begin to acknowledge him in the Omega, and all of a sudden I'm with him there. I'm with him in the birthing zone. I was there in the birth, and these words, all the life was coming back out to. It was the glory of that realm was filling my spirit up. I'm like, whoa, what is going on here? And then he starts coaching me, because that's what he does. He said, now, you have the imagery of this. What would happen? How would you feel? This is what he asked me, the first question. Because he has me in his presence in another place. He said, how would you feel if that happened today? What would you do? How would you feel? What would you say? What would be your first reaction? I fell on the floor. And I guess he nudged me to do it. He said, well, then fall on the floor. And I was in my prayer calls, and I went into intercession, this thankfulness. And I started reading in Isaiah, and he says, rejoice. Break forth into joy. Break forth into singing. They ain't even come out of Babylon yet, but that word delivered them out before it delivered them out. And I went into this victory mode, and this intercession, and this glory. It's like I was living the moment all over again, like it had happened. And I got up, and I'm like, glory to God, he's finally done it. Like the ones you've been carrying for 20, 30 years waiting on. And I wept and wept. And I'm in my prayer calls. He goes, then what would you do next? I said, I got to tell Anna. He says, well, then go tell her. But he didn't say, get up from here and go tell her. Go tell her in your heart. Because we're walking in the realm of the Spirit. What? Seeing those things that be not as though they were. I just, in the Spirit, I did everything I would have done in the natural. And as I went into the room, she was there. And I said, he did it. And I was crying, and she was crying. I'm like, and we were rejoicing. And the glory of God was everywhere. Oh, I'm in the Spirit the whole time. I'm looking at stars right now. I'm looking at the sand. I'm rejoicing. Because against hope, I was believing in hope. That he could do something that was outside the realm of impossibility. And I was feeling the glory, the same glory that he had brought me a long time ago. The same glory that he brought that word with. I was feeling it all over again. And he says, now what would you do? I'm like, I know, let's call Chuck. Now neither one of them had talked to me about any of this. I haven't discussed it, but I did in the Spirit. Because I only do what I see my Father doing. Because that's what I would be doing. With a father. And I went through this whole process. And it's like, it was several hours. I was caught up in this realm. And everything had changed. When I got back into where I actually was. And I came out of that realm. I came back. And I'm like, wow, something happened. My spirit has changed. Something's changed on the inside of me. I was weeping back in my realm now. I'm back in the realm. I know it's hard to figure out which one realm I'm in, but I was back in the natural realm. I came out and the Spirit was like lifted, but the glory was still there. And I'm lingering. I'm like, we just entered into the breakthrough. He said, you just entered into your future. And you cohabitated with me in it. But the same future I spoke to you 20 years ago, you went in there. You want to go back? Do I want to go back? Because there was so much faith and so much glory with it and so much freedom and liberty. It's like it happened. It wasn't these chains. Chains begin to fall off. He said, every time I wash you, he called it like that, in that kind of glory, the chains of unbelief will fall off. They cannot stand in that glory. He says, those chains, that wilderness, reproach, none of that can stay in this kind of glory. It all started falling off, and I started feeling like a new man. He says, how do you feel? I said, I feel like I have broken through. He said, has anything changed? I said, not here, but inside. He said, it's all going to happen there first. You're going to know who you are before it ever manifests here. All of that was from one massive light of He is the Omega. And the Holy Spirit showed it. He said, take these words to the Omega and live them with Him. Breathe them with Him. Dwell
with him.
Guard the heart with all diligence, for out of it's going to flow the treasures of life. The kingdom of God is within you. Out from your innermost being is going to flow the rivers. Chuck.
Isn't that remarkable? Because see, what we can do is we can actually live in that place, see it, experience it, and begin to have the victory of it happening to us before we ever get there. Because if you can see the end and you can stand in the end and recognize the end, now because you're recognizing it, it can change the faith level in your heart. And as it's changing that faith level in your heart, then it's beginning to send forth and cause it to come forth in your life. Hallelujah. If you would turn to Zechariah 4, because see, God inhabits all parts. He inhabits the beginning and the end, and he's been speaking to us about this. He spoke to John in the book of Revelation, but he also painted a picture of that same image in Zechariah. See, in Zechariah 3, he's speaking and he's restoring the office of the priesthood because they had been taken out of and into captivity. And so now that they're coming out of captivity, he's restoring the office of the priest. And now in chapter 4, he's restoring the office of the king back to what is supposed to be. But there's something here that he begins to show you the same thing. It says right here in verse 7. Well, this was back up to verse 6 because I'll give you context. And then he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." He was talking about him showing him a picture of the candlestick. See, the candlestick represented to Zechariah here, it represented the church, it represented the temple being restored. Because it was a picture of one of the candlesticks he would have seen in that temple. And so he's seeing this, and he's saying, but this is not going to happen, because this candlestick had something different. It was being fed by two olive trees. See, every candlestick that Zechariah ever experienced had to be fed by man. One of the priests had to get up there and fill it up day by day by day. It had to be continually filled up and overflowed. And what he's saying is, I'm bringing a light. I'm bringing a light into the world, because I'm not speaking just to this generation that you're in. I'm speaking to a generation that is yet to come, where I'm going to bring the light, and I'm bringing the light not by man's power, not by man, but by my authority, by my word, and by my spirit. And so he's speaking to us today. He's releasing a light today that comes simply out of the throne of grace. It comes simply by a move of grace. It comes simply because God's grace is illuminating, because he's choosing to bring his light by his spirit. So this is what's happening here. I feel almost like I got Justin on me here, because I'm, hallelujah. So just a shout out to Justin. So then, why are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Grace, grace to it. So what are you? And what he's looking for is the top stone here. He's talking about the top stone. But that top stone is a very curious word. It's the only word that I've ever seen that actually has two totally separate meanings. It can be the foundation or the cornerstone. Or it can be the top stone. It's both. It is, literally, that is, the translation of it is the Alpha and the Omega. It's the beginning and the end. That stone he's talking about bringing forth is the Alpha and Omega. That stone he's bringing forth is the Christ that's to come. That stone that he's bringing forth is the beginning and the end. And he said if they will begin to celebrate it, if they will begin to see it, if they will begin to celebrate it and say, grace, 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 because that when you're shouting grace, 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 it's a celebration. And so if you'll begin to shout grace, 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 if you'll see it for what it is, you can stand in this place, and when you do, now you can begin to rejoice. Why? Because they saw the hand of the king in the temple holding the plummet line. And that plummet line was talking about the construction of the temple. It's talking about it being finished, it being done, it being erected correctly, it being erected in righteousness, it being erected completely and being finished. But they were talking about it before it ever, they were celebrating it before it ever happened. It's the same image as what LaRue has been speaking about to you tonight. It's an image where you're celebrating the end right before even in the beginning. They were in the beginning of it. The temple hadn't been built. They were just sitting here wondering, how could this ever happen? But then they began to celebrate it. They began to see it completed. And they began to rejoice in it. And as they rejoiced in it, it became to pass. Not only, so that's not just about that generation. He's speaking into our generation. He's releasing into our generation. They were releasing something, not just for that day. They were releasing something for this day. They're releasing something because we know the glory of that temple never exceeded the glory of the former temple. So we are the generation. We are the glory that is supposed to be happening and supposed to be receiving. And so it's time for us to get with God and visit in Him at the Inalega and start rejoicing. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Let's all stand. Glory to God. Glory to God.